Welcome to another story presentation from Read Me a Story, Inc., located on the web at readmeastoryinc.com. Gurfus Slough by Sharon Bailey. In the little village of Tregaron lived a shoemaker and his three sons. The youngest son cut his leather with fine strokes and sewed his shoes with tight stitches, and so he was called Gurfus Slough, which means deft hand in Welsh. So great was his skill with knife and needle that no one in the village would buy shoes unless Gurfus made them. The shoemaker told his other sons they must fetch and carry for Gurfus.
"We ought to make shoes while Gurfus fetches and carries," muttered the brothers. "He is the youngest by far. Let's sneak into his room this very night, bind him in his own bootlaces, and set him adrift on the River Tyvee."
But that night Gurfus heard them coming. The brothers had cobbled their own shoes, and their shoes always creaked. Gurfus ran away, and the brothers could not find him, no matter how they searched and listened, for Gurfus's boots never creaked. Gurfus walked many a mile that night and the next until he came to a walled town. This town had two gates, with a shoemaker at each one. Two or three people stood outside the shoemaker's doors waiting for a turn at trying on shoes. "I shall set up shop in the center of town," said Gurfus. "There is work enough for a third shoemaker here." He set up his shop, and he worked so fast and so fine that soon no one in town would buy shoes except from Gurfus. The two other shoemakers muttered together, "We were good enough for the folk of this town before Gurfus Law arrived, and will be good enough again after he's gone." That very night they decided to roll him up in his own sheets of leather and set him adrift on the River Tyvee. But Gurfus heard them coming. The shoemakers had made their own shoes, which pinched their feet and made them groan as they walked.
"Ouch! Oh, ow! Ouch!"
Gurfus ran away, and the shoemakers could not catch him, no matter how hard they searched and listened, for Gurfus's boots never pinched. Gurfus walked many a mile that night, and the next, and the next, and the next, until he came to a walled city. This city had four gates with a shoemaker at each one. A long line of customers stood outside each shoemaker's door, waiting for a turn at trying on shoes. "I shall set up shop in the center of the city," said Gurfus. "There is work enough for a fifth shoemaker here." He set up his shop, and he worked so fast and so fine that soon no one in the city would buy shoes except from Gurfus. The four shoemakers muttered together, "We were good enough for the folk of the city before Gurfus Law arrived, and will be good enough again after he's gone." That very night they decided to tie him up with his measuring tape and set him adrift on the River Tyvee. Now the shoemakers were quite aware that their own shoes creaked and pinched and made them groan.
"Ouch! Ooh! Ow!"
So that very night, before they snuck into the house of Gurfus Slough, they slipped off their shoes. Gurfus never heard them. They tied him up with his measuring tape and set him adrift on the River Tyvee. By and by the boat that carried Gurfus Slough drifted all the way down the river and into the sea. At last it bumped against a fisherman's boat.
"Help! Help!" called Gurfus Slough.
"If you will free me and take me aboard your boat, I will make you a fine pair of waterproof boots."
"And who are you?" asked the fisherman.
"Gurfus Slough."
"Then welcome aboard," said the fisherman, "for I have heard of you, and you are the finest shoemaker in Wales."
While Gurfus Slough cobbled the fisherman's waterproof boots, he asked the fisherman where he came from and where he was going.
"I come from a small village across the sea," said the fisherman. "When my hold is full, I will sail all the long way to Cardiff and sell my fish to the king."
"Are there many shoemakers in Cardiff?" asked Gurfus.
"There are six gates to the city," said the fisherman, "and a shoemaker at each one. All their shoes pinch and creak. Indeed, rather than suffer the pain of their shoes, the king's daughter goes barefoot all year long.
A barefoot princess, said Gurfislau. What is she like?
Oh, she is so clever, said the fisherman, that she manages the entire kingdom. Everyone prospers and no one begs, and there's a fish upon every table. She is also beautiful, and every man who sees her wants to marry her. She refuses them all. Finally, her father, the king, told her that she must choose a husband. She said, I will marry, but the man I wed must come to me neither on horse nor on foot. He must welcome me neither inside nor out. He must stand above me, yet remain beneath. I wish that I knew such a man, said the fisherman. I would send him to the princess and make his fortune.
Gurfis thought about the princess while he measured and cut his leather and sewed and fitted the fisherman's boots. He thought about the princess while he laced the laces and oiled the seams so that never a drop of water could pass through. On the day he finished the waterproof boots, he said, Fisherman, your hold is nearly full of bass and mackerel. Will you sail your boat to Cardiff right away? If you do, I will make a pair of sandals for your wife.
Done, said the fisherman, and he sailed to the city straight away.
When they had anchored the bobbing craft at the pier, Gurfislau said, Fisherman, will you take this message to the castle for me? If you do, I will make another pair of boots for your son.
Done, said the fisherman.
The fisherman took the message to the castle. It said, Beautiful shoes, well priced, won't creak, won't pinch, Gurfislau at the fisherman's boat.
I shall visit this shoemaker, said the princess.
The fisherman hurried back to Gurfislau with the news that the princess was coming. He found Gurfis building a trellis over the boat's deck, and under the trellis he had built a wooden seat.
What are you doing?
The fisherman asked angrily.
Pardon me, please, said Gurfis. I will remove this trellis and seat tomorrow. Only let my work stand for one day, and I will make a fine pair of dancing shoes for your daughter.
Done, said the fisherman. Gurfis covered the trellis with flowers, bluebells, red comfrey, and marigolds. All day long he worked at his bench, measuring and cutting and stitching the most beautiful and softest pair of slippers he had ever made in his entire life. At noon the next day came the princess. She had eyes as blue as the bluebells, and hair as red as the red comfrey, and a smile that made the marigolds nod their heads in joy. As soon as Gurfis saw her, he fell in love. He knelt before the princess and nestled her left foot in a beautiful soft slipper.
How come you to Cardiff? The princess asked.
I came by boat, he said. I kneel here before you, having come neither by horse nor by foot.
The princess looked at Gurfislau and said, I have never seen such a pretty boat. What a beautiful canopy of flowers.
I built it myself, said Gurfislau. While it shelters you, you are neither inside nor out.
Gurfislau nestled her right foot in a beautiful soft slipper.
The princess looked at Gurfislau and said, This is the most comfortable bench.
Gurfislau stood up.
I placed it myself, he said. When you are sitting there, and I am standing here, I seem to be above you, and yet I am only a shoemaker, so I am always below.
These are very beautiful soft slippers, said the princess.
They do not pinch, they do not creak. You are a fine and clever shoemaker, and I will marry you. And so they were married, Gurfislau and the princess. They lived together in great love and content, and their children never wanted for anything, especially shoes.